Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Dale and Keith Show.
And he chased the pitch in the dirt. Strike three. Another breaking ball. There's 10 strikeouts for Wojciechowski.
Who? Thought I had really good stuff. That was really hot. I just wish I could have done it under maybe a night game.
Stop!
Dale Arnold.
Are you baffled as well?
Honestly, I'm not. The NFL talked to Hill. They talked to people on both sides. But the end result of all this was he ended up not being suspended.
Rich Keefe.
Leave a frozen water in your mailbox for your mailman.
Dale and Keefe. Middays.
I have the 10 ways to beat the heat this weekend.
Sticking your underwear in the freezer might be one that I might.
First thing I do when I get home, Sam.
I already have three pairs in there.
That's got nothing to do with the heat.
I just like the feel.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Fourth and final hour, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. Just in the other room talking to Lou. Glenn is off today, so Lou and Christian are going to hold down the fort.
And they're jumping off bridges.
Well, Christian did.
This time he's going to hug Lou and do it.
They might. They might go off the bridge together.
Tandem bridge jumping.
That's too high for me. And the whole water
and you,
thing.
You can't swim is the bigger issue, not the height.
I can swim some, just not... Great.
Three times you've been, quote, plucked from the water.
Well, okay, that might have happened back in the day.
If you've been plucked three times, it's time to give up. You shouldn't be on the water.
Well, I can do it. I just have to be a little more vigilant, shall
we
say.
You need to wear a life vest at all times, young man.
In the bathtub.
Not so young man.
Anywhere. Hey.
I'm just saying.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Let's get back to the calls with you guys. Let's talk to Spencer, who's calling from Western Mass. Hey, Spencer, how you doing?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Doing great.
I just wanted to give a little take on Jimmy G. You know, once Tom Brady finishes up, I give him like three years left. I think Jimmy G is going to come in for him and take over, win some more rings for New England.
How's he going to get here?
Plane.
After his contract goes up.
It doesn't even have to. We did a little research, and the cap numbers for them to cut bait with him go from 4 to 2 to 1, dead money. So it's very feasible if they chose to go in a different direction, whether performance-related, as you posed, health-related, if he can't stay healthy.
Okay, let's say that's all true, that they cut him for performance-related or health-related reasons. You want him here. Why?
Well, because our experience is better. Sometimes guys don't work elsewhere. Remember? Deion Branch came back. He left for the money.
He did.
He had issues, wasn't as great in Seattle, comes back here, boom, falls right in line. Who'd they play? The Ravens. He was like winning games for them right out of the gates when he got back. Sometimes it just works better here, right? LeGarrette Blount, remember him?
I do.
Was good here. Goes to Pittsburgh, he's like walking off the field, and they're telling him to just go home in the middle of the season. Comes back here, works again. Jamie Collins, you can come home again if home is New England.
No, that's not the issue. The issue.
Well, the timeline is curious that Spencer brought up. Brady's got another 3 years in him, and now Garoppolo's going to be a year eight, nine, journeyman quarterback, and you're going to invest in him and bring him back as your star. I don't really like that plan.
No,
my plan would be more about
your
this
plan's
year.
More astute.
Immediate. Yeah. Brady wins the Super Bowl this year. It's number seven. Retires, goes into cliff diving full time, and boom. You need a quarterback. Jimmy Garoppolo falls out of favor in San Francisco with Shanahan. There's your quarterback.
All right, so all joking aside, are you of the opinion that if the Patriots won the Super Bowl next February, he might walk away?
I have no idea. I'm done predicting things. Remember I went through that whole phase where I was predicting Belichick was retiring?
Yeah, that didn't go so well.
He's still going to retire someday.
Well, someday. It's not any time. Brady will retire before Belichick.
Are you sure?
Well, that's my opinion, yes. That's what I think.
What do you base it on?
I just don't think Belichick... I think Brady has a physical limitation to how long he can play. I don't think there's any physical limitation to Belichick.
Brady has a physical limitation as to how long he can play.
Well, there is.
It has a first name, and its name is Giselle. She begs him to retire, correct? He's admitted to that on a number of occasions. You know, nights before Super Bowls, it's time to call it quits. At some point, isn't he going to say, okay, like I could probably keep going. Maybe I'm not toast physically. TB12 is still working. But you're right, dear. It's time for me. We all do that. Yes, dear, right? We all say yes, dear.
Oh, no, not me. Not in my house.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Next time she says, don't get in the water, and you say yes, dear.
Yes, dear.
I think next time or one of these times where Giselle says, it's time, Tom. Let's go. I mean, I've given you longer than I wanted to give you. You have seven rings or whatever. No one's going to pass you. You're the greatest of all time. It's family time
right, but
now.
But even setting that aside, and Giselle doesn't do the, okay, Tom, it's time speech. Let's leave that.
Okay.
And let's say she's the supportive wife who said, you know what? It's what my husband loves. As long as he wants to play, I'll support him. There's a physical limitation to how long you can do this.
Is there?
Yeah.
He's already gone beyond others.
Absolutely. And I was one of those who thought 45 was a pipe dream. I'm not even sure of that anymore.
It's getting closer.
I know.
Every year.
I know.
But you know what else is getting closer? Remember when Bill Belichick said he wasn't going to be like Marv Levy and coach into his 70s?
He changed his mind, too.
He's 67 now. We're knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door of the 70s.
Yeah, I don't think he feels he's... First of all, he thinks he's still got a lot to give.
And he does. He's got no defensive assistants.
He's got nobody on the staff
here. So he has to feel like he has plenty to offer because... You could argue this year there's going to be as much on his plate as has been on his plate in a long time. So, I still can't definitively. I think Brady, to me, over the years has changed his opinions more. I feel like at various times, there was a time, I want to say after they won the third Super Bowl in 04, he did like a 60-minute interview and said, you know, you achieve these things, you're on top of the mountain, and you wonder, is there more than this? There's got to be more than this. So, He has these philosophical, motivational, a couple of years ago, I did shows with you at the end after they lose to the Eagles, you know, why do you do this? And you better have real strong answers for those questions.
Right.
And there was like a belief, holy crap, is he thinking about retirement or he thought about retirement? He was going to retire if they won. Now he doesn't know the answers to the questions. He, inside his head, I think, really analyzes stuff a lot. Whereas Bill, to me... He grew up loving football. His dad coached football. He decided he was good at football. This is what
and,
I do. I do
and
football.
He is.
I mean, do you feel like he's ever gone through these ups and downs of motivation? Whereas, to me, Bill is all in. He's always been all in. I guess you could claim, like Mark James does, that Barbados Bill has been vacationing a little bit more. I think maybe we see it a little bit more.
Yeah,
because,
I was going to say, I think he's been doing this for a while.
Because paparazzi caught him or his girlfriend puts a picture on Instagram and people think, oh, he's doing more. I think he's always had some vacations. I think he's always liked Nantucket and the boat and all that. So
I think he's traveled in the off season every year too.
Tells us the story where he followed, you know, Bon Jovi around Europe one year, you know, and basically did that whole, I'm going to see every concert he does in Europe for a month or whatever. So he's done it all along. I think Tom has ebbed and flowed in sort of his philosophy and drive. And so it wouldn't stun me if one day he just says, I'm done. She said she'd like me to come home. I'm coming home.
I think it was, I believe it was Mike Reese who wrote this recently, said that he was talking to sources close to Brady, who said he's as fired up for the start of this football season as he's ever been. Mm-hmm. He certainly, what we see on the social media postings, you know, 19th off season in the books, and he certainly acts like a guy who can't wait to get back out there and play again.
Oh, and I think he is. I think when he's all in it, he's all in it. You know, you can say he's taken, you know, the organized team activities off or whatever, but he wants to compete. There's no doubt in my mind. And he hears people like you and I saying, how are they going to have a passing game? Who's he going to throw to?
Yeah.
What is Brady going to do? I mean, he's done it in the past, but is this the one time where he just doesn't have enough weapons and now Edelman's going to miss time? He hears all the doubters and he uses it and he will continue to use it. And yeah, I have no doubts about him being lackluster or lackadaisical, and he's going to be fired up. I will tell you, though, I got a prediction.
Oh.
And I'll probably write a little something about this later in the week.
You're going to predict that Belichick's going to retire?
Or? No. I'm out of that game.
Okay.
That game didn't go well for Andy. It was wrong. You're going to hear plenty of questions or reports out of Foxborough. We may start it on Thursday while watching that the passing game doesn't look great and the defense is ahead of the offense. And this is a Patriot because they have a talented defense, right?
Yeah.
They were good at the end of last year.
They don't have any coaches, but they've got a talented defense.
You're going to win with talent. It's like the NBA. You win with talent, not coaching. And with all these changes at receiver and tight end and Brady and the relationships,
we are going to be lamenting for a week or two or maybe longer how far ahead the defense is of the offense, and the offense is struggling. It'll stun me if we're writing about how good the passing game looks.
Oh, so get ready for it.
Yeah. Get ready for it. I'm telling you, the sky's not falling. There's good reason. It's Brady and new receivers. Edelman's out. Gronk is gone. Just relax. Just wait until the regular season comes. Wait until it all falls into place. Or doesn't, and then the sky will be falling.
Then it'll fall.
That's October.
Bob's in East Providence. Hey, Bob.
Hey, Bob. Yeah, hey, guys. How you doing?
What's going on?
I have a little conversation regarding Belichick retiring, and this is my opinion. There's no love lost between Don Shula and Bill Belichick.
That's fair.
I don't see Belichick retiring until he has one more win than Don Shula.
Well, he's 67 behind right now. That's a lot of wins.
So at, let's say, 12 a year, that's six,
five more years.
Five more years. Yep.
Yeah, that's five and change. I mean, it's doable. He's now, 72 he'll be in that range?
Yeah.
I mean, I certainly wouldn't rule it out. Now, you also get into the question, if you say 5 years, he's trying to get 12 win seasons maybe without Brady on the back end of that, whether that's year four, year five.
I think that's fairly safe to say that.
Which
that'll be the case.
Is another layer of this. You know, you bring up, Bob brings up Shula. There's also the layer of everybody bringing up, does he want to prove something without Brady? He can win without Brady. He can have those
division
titles.
Yeah, I've never bought that. I've heard callers to the station have brought that up.
Yeah.
I hear it a lot. I don't think that Belichick, of course he has an ego. You know, you don't do what he does at the level he does it without having an ego. But I don't think that ego says, you know what, damn it, I gotta prove to people I can win this thing without Brady.
Right.
I think he just wants to win. He doesn't care.
I agree. I think he wants to drive a spike into your heart and beat you when he takes the. And I think Brady is similar in that way. There was also the theory, you know, maybe he wants to do it long enough to set up Steve Belichick and Brian Belichick and the boys to sort of extend what it. Seth Wickersham called it a truly dynastic succession plan, that he wanted his sons to be entrenched in the NFL, maybe in New England, maybe in Foxborough, I don't know. So we don't know those internal plans and motivations. It is a great debate, and I know NBC Sports Boston's been doing some debates, and they ended right before camp with the ultimate one, who deserves more credit, Belichick and Brady, and that's what gets into this whole discussion here.
If you had to pick one, and you don't, obviously, but for the sake of the discussion, if you had to pick one, I'd say Belichick.
I think I would, too. But it's tough. I mean, Brady is great.
He's the best who's ever played his position.
And
I also think when all is said and done, you're going to say the same thing about Belichick. He's the best who's ever done
what
he's done.
You can certainly argue it, and that's why together they are the greatest
dynasty.
And everything they've accomplished. But I just, you know, you look at the way the coach can affect everything and what he's done in personnel, what he's done in Super Bowl game plans. Hell, we just saw it with Sean McVay. I don't know. The Patriots are a man team. We're going to be playing a team that plays man on defense.
Right.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Who didn't get me the video of zone? It looks like a lot of zone out there. We're struggling. Like, he's never feared the game plan, the changing on the fly, getting away from strength because the other team might be. There was another Super Bowl. They went from 3-4 to 4-3 from the AFC title game to the Super Bowl. And, you know, the little samples, now people will throw Cleveland at me, but the little samples of Brady is suspended, you find a way to win.
By the way, Belichick's still the last coach to win a playoff game with the Cleveland Browns.
Beating the Patriots, right?
Yeah.
And the, you know, the sampling of 08 when Brady is hurt, he has found a way. I don't know long term how that would work without Brady, certainly. And I give Brady credit for being the top lieutenant, taking less money and establishing culture and all those things. But if you really held a gun to my head, I think I'd take Belichick. Because the coach, theoretically, you'll get a longer run, right? If he's any good, there, as you said, there's no physical limitations to the coach staying on. So if I take Belichick, I have a better chance of multiple decades of success.
I will say this year might be the most severe test Belichick has ever faced. The brain drain from this staff, I mean, basically they lost six coaches, half a dozen coaches this offseason.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
you have a special teams coach who is now the wide receivers coach and still the special teams coach.
And by the way, probably the guy most capable of calling defensive signals for your team right now is a first-year former linebacker.
And former pre- and post-game host in the media as of last year.
Yeah.
He was hanging out with Tom Curran and Phil Perry, and all of a sudden he's calling plays.
He might be the most capable of calling defensive plays for the Patriots.
I don't like to toot my own horn.
Gerard Mayo, by the way, for people who don't know who we're talking about.
Oh, hell, I do like to toot my own horn.
Oh, yes.
The second Mayo came on board and it was clear what the staff was going to look like, it was obvious to me that he was a candidate to call plays. More so than, you know, Brett Bielema, a former college coach, defensive line coach now with the Patriots.
Steve Belichick,
the safeties coach. And I'm not even, you know, that would create an uproar, I think, in terms of who he is.
I don't think he's ready either, by the way.
Like, Jerod Mayo was in all those meeting rooms. He was in the game plan rooms, and he's called plays verbally for 8 years or whatever it was in the NFL at a high level. He was a smart player. He was one of those immediate captain guys. Year two, suddenly your linebacker's a captain. He just made a lot of sense. Now, maybe he won't. Maybe that was just a spring OTA minicamp thing, but I think it's more than that. And the other thing is, I think the defensive and offensive play call, a little overrated. I mean, the game plan is put in during the week.
Right.
The little sheet where it says, okay, we are 3rd and 3 on the plus 50. Well, there's like 2 play calls that they've decided on Tuesday are going to be good for that game.
Yes, and I will say this, though. I thought Brian Flores' defensive play calling was more aggressive than Matt Patricia's was.
Maybe a little, but again, Bill sets that tone.
Yeah.
How many, you hear the mic'd up, Josh is, why don't we run it this drive? Get the run going here. Or Joe Judge, kick it deep. The overbearing factor in this team is always Bill Belichick. If we're going to be aggressive on defense, not aggressive on defense. And the play call, when you call it on Sunday, you're picking from the 3 that were approved by Bill on Tuesday for the situation. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not like he just tosses you the keys and says, good luck this week. By the way, have Mahomes, he can play. You better have some good game plans drawn up. No, it's all him until you actually make the verbal call.
Well, the interesting thing is, and I would agree with you, that from a personnel perspective, you're more talented on defense right now than you are on offense.
Yes.
You've got more, stud defensive players than stud offensive players. But you've got more continuity on the offensive coaching staff.
Correct.
With Josh McDaniels and Dante Scarnecchia and Ivan Fears. I mean, you've got more continuity. The defensive staff is where you're basically starting from scratch.
Sort of. I don't think it's quite as dire a picture as that, just because they've been here. Like, Brett Bielema is the defensive line coach. A year ago, I think he was the consultant to the head coach. Mm-hmm. He was on the field. He was working with the defensive linemen. He has a rapport with them. I can remember seeing him. He comes on and off the practice field, fist bumping with all the defensive linemen and hugging that. Like, there's a relationship there. A trust level, I think, has probably been established. DeMarcus Covington is the outside linebackers coach. Been a coaching assistant for 2 years. Mike Pellegrino is now the cornerbacks coach. He's been a coaching assistant for 4 years. So while they are all in elevated roles, they're promotions from within. They're already part of the defensive coaching family, the coaching family, and been around the team for multiple years. Mayo is the lone real kind of like newcomer.
He's the new guy.
But even he's been around the team. He played with the team. Half these Flores and guys he was around earlier, they were his coaches. So even he's a family member.
Do we read anything into the fact that Troy Brown's been helping out and apparently will start training camp out there on the field, working with guys?
Yeah.
It sort of feels like he's a Jerod Mayo in training here.
I don't know if he wants to go down that whole road because it's a commitment. A lot of these, Mayo said it at the time when he retired, he didn't want to coach. He didn't want to go the Belichick route. He didn't want to be here, 19, 20 hours a day doing that kind of thing. And it changes. You love football, you get away from it, and your motivation changes. But I think I just brought it up, Joe Judge is your special teams coach, is now the wide receivers coach. I think we all said, that's different. He's going to need help. Most of us said, maybe Nick Caserio will be working with the receivers. He used to be the wide receivers coach back in 07 when Moss was here. Maybe he's the guy that has to help out. Well, apparently it wasn't Caserio. Now it looks like Troy Brown is the guy that's helping out. And maybe for Troy it is, because he's been around in previous years.
Yeah. Maybe he's out there on the field occasionally. Right. Now, maybe regularly.
Maybe it's a little more regular now to find out how much he's willing to commit. Okay, I liked it just being there a little bit in various camps. Okay, now I'm there full days. Maybe I'll do a full training camp. You know what? It's not that bad. I kind of like, this is what I want to do. Maybe it's a little bit of a test for both. It helps the Patriots and it helps out Troy Brown, maybe figure out what his future is.
Max is in Chicopee. Hey, Max, how you doing?
Hey, pretty good. Let me take you off speaker.
Thank you.
Yep. Hey, just calling about Tom Brady and his little girl jumping off the cliff.
Sure.
I think it's probably not the greatest idea. I used to live up in Shelburne Falls, glacial potholes, and I saw so many tourists bang their feet on the rocks, get hurt, and there's actually a couple people that ended up dying at the potholes, too. So, I mean, not from jumping, they died in the tunnels, but still, it's just, I thought it was dangerous.
Wait, in puddles? What are you talking about? I missed it.
Was the potholes, glacial potholes in Shelburne Falls.
Like,
a bunch of places where you can jump off rocks and whatnot.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, anytime you do something like that, jump from a higher spot to water or whatever, there's some risk
there
involved.
There is some risk. Now, I don't think his daughter was in danger.
Well, I mean, if she slips and falls and bounces down the rock, she's in danger.
Yes.
So inherently,
there's
some danger. Now, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and say, this is a place where he's jumped before, Giselle's jumped before. They know there's enough water. They know there's no rocks under the surface that you're going to hit. That it's a relatively safe experience.
Yeah, and when Tom gets asked about it, and I'm promising you it's going to happen this week. Well, it is. It's going to. Even if what it is, Tom, did you expect the reaction to the video when you posted it?
It's going to be not a terrible question.
And that's where
I think
it's
been in this business a while. Good job.
Thank you. and it's going to get asked in some way, shape, or form. And maybe his answer is, heck, she's jumped off that thing 10 times. You know, that was the first time we jumped together, and that's why we were filming it. I don't know the answer. I'm just saying.
Right. Or he might get annoyed that more and more he gets criticized for pretty much anything he does, and damned if you
it
do.
It almost doesn't matter, does it?
Right. Now,
I mean, he's kissing his son and gets criticized.
Was on the lips for a long time.
I don't care.
Okay, I'm just devil's advocate. Don't shoot the messenger.
That one baffled me. I mean, more than this one.
They both kind of baffle me.
Well, this one I can at least sort of half understand people saying, ooh, that looked, like you said, that looked awkward. I don't know what argument you're going to make about him giving his son a kiss.
Yeah, and that one was back. That was in one of the documentaries, right?
It was in Tom versus Time.
That was Tom versus Time.
Yes.
So that was
He was getting a massage from Alex, and his son came in to see him.
Right. This is a little more, I think it's hard. He's taken a more aggressive approach to social media, no doubt. For marketing purposes, right. I don't know exactly what his plan is, but whether it's marketing purposes or he enjoys it, likes needling the world, I'm not sure exactly why he's been more active on social media last year or two. I think it's marketing. I think it's TB12 related and brand.
It is eventually going to be even more involved with TB12.
Right. So if that's the case, then you take what you take the good from it, which is your marketing and your brand. You take the bad from it. If you're on social media, as you said, it's a cesspool. People are going to criticize you no matter what you do. You just have to have thick skin, live your life. And so I would hope he doesn't overreact when he is asked, as you said, on Thursday or Friday or this weekend.
I mean, I can't imagine what the reaction is on the social media. And it's probably in places just, like you said, scorched earth. But he is going to get asked about it.
Oh, yeah. Just like he was asked about Tom Terrific and the whole Tom Seaver thing. And I'm not sure he handled that as quite as well as he would have liked to, but I'm sure he'll be prepped for this answer. And my guess is he gives you the fake. Yeah, that got a little reaction, huh? Just a dad and his daughter trying to have fun. Move on from it. Okay? Say that. Just a dad and his daughter trying to have fun.
And that theoretically should end it, but
then Ben Volen will have a follow-up, and then press conference
Mark
ends.
Mark Dondero or somebody.
I don't think he's down there anymore.
I don't know where he is. I just used his name because it was
Volen's the closer. Volen's been known to close a couple. You know, he comes in. Red Sox could use Ben Volen. He's already on the company pay tab, right? The Globe? Move Ben Volen over to closer. He'll end games. He ends interviews.
Might as well. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We'll get right back to the calls with you after trending now.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, back to the best.
Don't just wake up one day and become the best.
And confident.
You need to be confident in yourself, Dale. That's what you would have to be.
It's Dale and Keith on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
So Ian Rappaport, NFL insider from the NFL Network, tweeted out earlier this hour. Sources. Seahawks standout defensive lineman Jaron Reed is being suspended 6 games for a violation of the NFL's personal conduct policy.
Oh, they have those?
For an incident from early 2017. He was not charged or arrested. His appeal was denied Friday morning. Huge on-field impact.
Please don't tell me he's suspended for threatening a woman.
I don't know. It doesn't say here. He was not charged. He was not arrested nor charged. Incident from early 2017. And he's been suspended 6 games for violation of the person. And by the way, I'm not suggesting that he shouldn't be. I don't know what he did. That's not my point here. My point is Tyreek Hill got nothing for making a threat that we heard on an audio tape to the mother of his child.
Now, we were told by a caller that wasn't a threat.
Yeah, I know.
It was intimidation.
Yeah, well.
I feel like those two things are sometimes tied together.
Seems that way.
When you're intimidated? When you feel threatened.
I do not know what Jaron Reed allegedly did. I don't know, the particulars. I'm not suggesting he shouldn't have been suspended either. Maybe he should have been. Maybe if I knew the particulars, I'd say, attaboy, Roger. Although we don't say a lot of attaboy Rogers, do we?
No, we shouldn't.
Or ever.
Unless you're an owner and he hands you a paycheck. Right?
Yeah. No. I'm looking. I do not see details. The incident early 2017, appeal denied Friday morning. He had sports hernia surgery in April. His availability now, it said it appeared to be on track to be ready for training camp, but now, not so much. His regular season availability will be delayed by 6 games.
Reading off of Pro Football Talk, in April of 2017, a woman told police that Reed assaulted her. Reed was not arrested or charged, but it's a violence against a woman allegation.
Which, as I said, for all I know, he absolutely should be suspended for 6 games. I don't know the particulars of his case. What I do know is that, and somebody else tweeted this earlier, and I couldn't agree more, I am completely at a loss at trying to describe the suspension policy for the National Football League right now.
Throw a dart at a wall and see if it hits suspension or get out of free.
I mean, the PED one, I get. I understand. It's the same. Four games. Yeah. That one's, but the personal conduct policy suspensions, good luck figuring it out.
Because there is no true, and even, they tried to be definitive in the post-Ray Rice era, right? I think it was 6 games. Domestic abuse was going to be an automatic 6-game suspension. And now you have the Jimmy Smith comp from a year ago where, it was based on a threat and intimidation of his former fiance, and it was 4 games. And now Tyreek Hill, whether you want to term it threatening his former fiance, mother of his children, whether you want to term it intimidation.
Yep.
I got to think it's not okay under any real parameters of a domestic violence program, relationship program, things of that nature. And yet, as of now, he is free and clear. He will be in training camp with the Chiefs. He'll be on the field to open the season. And they'll be celebrating his touchdowns and big plays and forgetting everything else, apparently.
Mitch is in Boston. Oh, let me hit the right button. Hey, Mitch, how you doing?
Good. How are you guys?
Doing great.
So I just have something to say about when you guys are talking about the LSU locker room.
Yes.
I think it's kind of crazy to think that you're saying something about these seats that turn into beds.
Yes.
I mean, I haven't seen them personally, but I think that is completely something that college kids would use. And it's also, you guys
have college kids, don't get me wrong, college kids can sleep. You're kind of taking your life in your hands if you're taking a nap in the middle of a locker room.
Yeah, but I mean, I played college baseball myself in Boston, and it's like these schedules that kids have are actually crazy, and kids are tired all the time, so kids will take a nap whenever they can find one. And at the same time, these schools, like LSU, did that because they're LSU football. They have a reason to. It's used as a recruiting tool. So when you go to these schools and you see these beds and you see these TVs above their locker, it's a recruiting tool, and that's how you become LSU football.
Right. It's keeping up with the Joneses, and we've seen it across college sports, not just SEC football, but pretty much everywhere. I'm with Dale. I don't think they're – a lot of places have sleep rooms. Gillette Stadium has a sleep room. Fenway Park has a sleep room.
I knew Fenway. I didn't realize Gillette had.
And these are small rooms with limited number of beds, dark, so you can go get a nap. I think that makes a lot of sense. You want to do that off the locker room? I just can't really envision, you know, 10 out of 95 kids – in the locker room deciding, I'm going to take a nap because we got 45 minutes till practice.
Hey, everybody quiet down,
right.
Okay?
Be quiet. Don't screw with me. No Sharpies. No Icy Hot on anything that's sensitive. No powder. It just doesn't seem to me like it's an environment conducive to putting these sleep pods to use. They need naps. I think they need naps.
Yeah.
I think sleep rooms are a better idea than locker room is your sleep room.
Peter's in JP. Hey, Peter.
Guys, how you doing?
What's going on?
I think you got to be really careful when you're dealing with a family dynamic, because I'm sure you guys are like me. Every penny I make goes to my family. Actually, most of it to my wife. So if you suspend a guy for four games, that might be $1 million you're taking away from actually the person who suffered the abuse or your family. I don't know what the solution is, but it's not him that's losing the money. It's her losing the money too.
I'd be more worried about, and I'm not saying this is the case with Crystal Espinal, I'd be more worried about her health and well-being than I was about her financial security.
She can always divorce him. And I don't know if the NFL could, put some money aside that goes to her. But think about it. $1 million. If you gave your family $1 million, okay, and that was taken away from you, it's like she's getting slapped twice. You know what I mean?
Right. We understand that there is power and financial considerations in all of these relationships, and not just with professional athletes.
Absolutely.
With any walk of life.
Yep.
You know, that's where you get spousal support and child support and some of those factors. And, yeah, there's no doubt in my mind that that's a consideration with some of these women. And that is a pressure. And that's why I've always said, I've never understood why, don't presume guilt on either side. But
and I'm not, by the way.
No, but I feel like the NFL is a big enough league, and I've used the example. They have a number you can call anywhere, anytime to get a ride.
Yeah.
Basically a non-drunk driving hotline,
yeah.
Whatever you want to call it. Shouldn't they have a domestic version where any place, anytime, I can call a number, and I don't know who the experts are, what their titles would be, could be sent out. You know, have some in Boston, New York, all over the country, so you can be there relatively quickly, but... You know, first responders in issues of sexual violence, domestic violence, family issues.
I'm not saying your plan's a bad one. It's a good one. But I wonder how many women would avail themselves of the services.
But at least if you make it
available. If there's one, it's enough. Right.
And maybe it helps because there are factors here. Maybe there's even financial considerations where funds are made. Like, we understand that you are sort of tied in. For all I know, you're the college girlfriend. Your boyfriend got to the NFL. You feel like, I really got nothing else. I kind of gave up my life to hitch my wagon to this guy. Now he's abusive. Now we're going down this road. What do I do? Where do I turn? Well, you turn to this program provided by the National Football League. Because we are not in these relationships. So we have no idea. And romantic/physical relationships, we all act weird when we're in them, right? And we don't necessarily see things the way they are, whether it's to an extreme example of abuse or just prioritization or however you view things. And I don't poo-poo that idea, but I also don't poo-poo the reverse, that maybe she's doing things strictly because of money and maybe she's manipulating
entirely
the situation.
Possible, sure.
And that's certainly something he brought up with the whole, you know, original incident, that you know that didn't happen the way you said it did. Did I hit you? Did I hit you? Did I hit you? She never answers. She refuses to answer. And again, she knows it's being recorded. He doesn't.
Jerome's in Scituate. Hey, Jerome.
Hey, Dale. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Who do you got with you? It's not Rich Keefe. Who's that?
Andy Hart.
Oh, Andy, how are you?
I'm super. How are you?
Good. Hey, listen, before I get to Gerard Mayo, I know a little bit about this bridge jumping. I made my bones not cliff diving, but I do the bridge jumping. I was twice the champ in Cohasset. The problem is when you jump in tandem, okay, it doesn't matter how big you are, how much you weigh. It goes back to the E equals MC squared physics. The problem is when you don't jump together, one is pulling on the other, and it throws your whole jump.
What could happen? Yeah. Who judges the Cohasset Bridge jumping contest?
Well, it used to be a guy named Rocky Lagelle, and you're going to think I'm crazy.
Yep.
But, Chris Keating, who
you've covered it.
Chris Keating, who played for the Bills, right, and is wound with Smurlus. His younger brother, Brian Keating, was runner-up to me 3 years in a row.
Really?
In the Cohasset Bridge Jumpers.
And he was good.
Oh, he was very good.
Now, is there a degree of difficulty?
Oh, I had other questions.
Me too. I had tons. Is it like a predetermined routine? You both have to do the same dive, or is there points for creativity?
It's like Brady was saying, synchronized diving.
Right.
I let that go on an entire minute longer than I should have.
Yeah, but I really did want to continue to flesh that whole thing
Plus,
out.
What falls faster, a brick or a feather?
Whoa.
Now we got Brady, big guy, little kid. I mean, we've got all kinds of physics issues here.
A brick falls faster.
Square.
The Cohasset Bridge jumping.
Is this a sanctioned event?
Champion.
Cohasset?
Oh, no. No, it is total pirate.
You got to scramble if the cops popo
hey,
show.
Come.
You have people probably lookouts down the road, give you a little warning. Yeah. Hootie hoo! Hootie hoo!
Hootie hoo.
Well, if you hear hootie hoo, it means they're coming. You got to disperse.
Hootie hoo.
Report from Ian Rappaport. The Patriots have worked out a wide receiver.
Oh, funny how that works out, huh?
Justin Hunter, who is a wide receiver formerly of the Titans, Steelers. I don't remember if he was a first. He was a sought-after prospect, second-round pick, 34th overall out of Tennessee in 2013.
According to Field Yates, the Patriots worked out four wide receivers today.
Who else you got?
Nick Williams of the Titans, Justin Hunter of the Steelers, Pappy White of the Jaguars.
Who? Grandpappy White?
Uh-huh. Travon Darrell of the Saints.
This is what we've come to. Huh?
This
got to update my top 90. Gunner, don't worry, you're still safe at 90.
93,
Justin Hunter, if he signs, I mean, this is a guy that has 85 career catches, 13 touchdowns, four touchdowns in three different seasons, averaged 19.7 yards per catch as a rookie in Tennessee. Big play guy. He might get into, like, the top 77 if he
signs. Well, there you go. If he does. What else you got coming up next? Dale and Keith with Andy Hart, Sports Radio WEEI.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Back to Dale and Keith on WEEI.
All right, let's get to a couple of things that we didn't get to throughout the course of the program today.
What else you got?
I'll let you start, Andy.
I have a new favorite coach.
Okay.
Well, for now anyway, till he screws up, loses, and sucks.
And gets fired.
Yes. Vic Fangio. Defensive.
Could be soon.
Yes. Defensive boss of the Bears makes his way over with John Elway and the Broncos, and he is clearly bringing an old school, you know, get off my lawn, as some might term it, approach. And a wide variety of things. We talked about it earlier. Drew Locke, his quarterback, he just signed. And instead of throwing bouquets at him and praise, he said he's not a quarterback. He's basically just a thrower, not even a pitcher yet.
Yeah.
Which I like. Earn your stripes. Little Parcells like there.
Belichick almost.
Yeah, little hard ass. He also has another theory. Apparently they are going to treat noise in practice. You know how teams play music,
oh, they do it down at Gillette, work with all noise. Sure.
Well, he's got a little bit of a different approach on it.
Oh, the last couple of years, the music has been playing in training camp, and now it's gone. That's kind of been the signature of Vic Fangio, and bringing that sort of attention to detail of, listen, we're not going to have music because they don't have music in the game.
Well, exactly. And I think that's what's been great. And the attention has got, you know, the focus has been much better. And, you know, the guys aren't horsing around dancing with the music on the sidelines when they're not in, and the attention level is much, much better.
No fun, sir. Got Denzel.
No fun, sir.
This is just not going to end well.
It isn't, but it's going to be fun while it goes. I look forward to his press conferences. I look forward to weekly quotes out of Denver. And I never thought about it that way because he's right. Music is fun. Everybody loves music, right? It hits you emotionally. You get a little jazzed up. No fun. This is like interrogation. There will be noise playing in your ears. You will prepare for noise, not fun.
What else you got?
So this goes back to Saturday. You know,
Mark James and Andy Hart?
Oppressively hot day here. You know, I got to be honest, I spent more of the weekend indoors than I probably would like to have because it was too damn hot out there.
Listening from 11 to 3 to James
and
Hart.
That too. So Saturday, now what you have to do, not you, Andy, but you folks out there, you have to find yourself a wife like mine who, when I say it's hot, let's stay inside in the air conditioning, and wade through both versions of John Wick.
It's a romantic Saturday afternoon.
And John Wick Chapter 2. And she did. She watched both of them with me. So as we're watching, at some point during John Wick 2, I said to my wife, how many people has he killed? I mean, think about the number of people that he's killed. And you just know this is true. Someone's come up with a body count.
Of course. In this day and age, the internet baby has everything.
In John Wick, he kills 77 people.
Over how many minutes? That's not even a person in a minute. Well,
in John Wick Chapter 2... he kills 128 people.
Go big or go home.
Spoiler alert. I haven't seen John Wick 3, but he kills people in John Wick 3. According to the latest body count, he only takes out 94 people in John Wick 3.
Whoa, we cutting back here for the economy?
That means his total number of kills in the three movies comes to 299.
Did you use a machete?
A machete?
He uses everything. Well, a pencil. We know about the pencil part. So...
it's not good for you, Dale, you know, to watch all that killing.
Oh, I loved it.
And says something about you.
It does probably say
something. So now when you have an incident and they come to me, did you ever suspect this? I said, well, you did watch John Wick in one sitting.
My wife watched them both, too. We haven't seen John Wick 3. But your movie hero, and he's the hero, by the way, over the course of these three John Wick films has apparently killed 299 people.
Sometimes you got to do what you got to do. Collateral damage, right?
Well,
ask the Avengers. It's not always clean.
Do you know the title for John Wick Chapter 3, by the way?
Parabellum.
That's correct, which sources tell me means prepare for war.
Does it?
Yeah, antebellum after the war. The antebellum South.
There you go.
You don't remember learning about the antebellum South?
Yeah, I didn't know
that.
It's
like 100 years ago. You lived it, right?
So you don't have to... So Saturday in the heat wave, I spent indoors watching John Wick kill, you know, a whole bunch of people. Sunday, I decide, you know what, honey? Let's go to Fenway Park and watch soccer. It was a little warmer there, but it was kind of cool. I liked it.
Which was more enjoyable?
No, it was more fun seeing Liverpool and Sevilla.
Than death.
Yeah, than watching John Wick kill a whole bunch.
Controversial,
of
though. A little dirty friendly.
It was dirty. It was, we'll probably talk about it another time. Here's how you know it's dirty. The guy who committed the foul for Sevilla, he took this guy from Liverpool out, just kicked his legs. Took the guy off on the stretcher. Not those fake, you know, soccer, you know. Oh,
no,
my
this
God.
Was real.
No, this was real.
This is how I would envision. I would play soccer. The guy got by me. I can't kick the ball anymore. I'm
gonna kicking
him.
I'm going to take him out. So the guy who committed the foul said after the game, that was an odious foul. I can't do that. Kind of He's cool. an educated fouler.
Yeah. Thug or
odious.
Goon or
yeah,
whatever,
whatever,
whatever you call it in soccer when you go ham on a guy. How was the pitch?
Remarkably good, considering.
A new pitch on Fenway Park, you know what I'm saying?
Get it, yeah,
waka, waka.
We got to get out of here. Coming up next, it's Lou Maloney and the Bridge Jumper.
Yes, they're going to do it together. Bring mics out, find the bridge that you're talking about, the railroad bridge, and do it.
Or
jump.
Send them to Cohasset and get judged.
Jump. Oh, yeah, they're not at that level yet. Keating, you think they're going to beat the Keating family?
Please, are you kidding? OMF's coming up next. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Thank you for stopping by. Goodbye, goodbye. Goodbye, goodbye. Thank you for stopping by.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
For a
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.